introduce James Kay from Santa Clarita.
My name is James Kohler. I'm a grateful alcoholic. My sobriety date is 1/14/96. And my best friend Tommy has 83 days on me, and it should stay that way for the rest of our lives. Hey, you know what? It's a blessing to be up here. It's the second time I've been up here. I was up here 2 months ago with Tommy, and I look forward to coming up here. I know how to get around up here now. I know to go to Pismo, not stay here in, you know, this little city. No, I'm just kidding. It's all good. You know, I'm glad to be speaking. I can't keep this thing unless I give it away, and that's just the way it is. And I got a lot of fun in my little pitch. And I'm not going to do a drunk or drug log for the full time so you guys can hear recovery. I rip and ran from 13 to 38. That's a long time, you know, and got loaded. Never tried to get sober. And my mother was in and out of AA from 68 to 80. I was 5 years removed from the house when she finally got sober. I got raised by a full-blown alky. But my daddy was around and he was my hero. And he kept the family together. He was a Depression-era kid, World War II veteran, and believed in the family unit. I'm diagnosed hyperactive, ADHD. I'm an alcoholic. I'm an addict. And in August, I'll have 5 years in Al-Anon. So I'm what they call a triple winner. I go regularly to NA, regularly to AA. I have commitments in my area. I'm the literature person for H&I. I'm about to become the chairperson of our central office. And that's not to boast. I don't know what part to take out, so I keep doing it all. And that's just the way I'm full bore, you know. Some people say we suffer from more, because I want more of everything, right? Okay, so... being hyperactive, I get on people's nerves. I open my mouth. I don't do restraint of tongue and pen very well. I'm trying, though, after 20 years, but that's just the way it goes. But way back, I just celebrated last Tuesday my 59th birthday on this earth. And my drunk mother said I'd never make it past 18. Right? It's all good. You know, and having 20 years of sobriety, the aging process slows down. I like it. Okay. I was born in 1957. I'm a baby boomer. And my older brother was already born. The favorite child. He's a Harvard graduate with a PhD in chemistry. I was always behind him in classes, and I got in trouble mouthing off to the teacher saying, I'm not my brother. You know, but my daddy is my hero. My father was a childhood actor during the Great Depression. He was Donald O'Connor's double. He was at Hollywood High School. He dropped out of high school at 17 and a half, joined the Marines, and he was in Guadalcanal at 18 years of age in World War II. My daddy is a hero. He was out of the Marines at 19 and a half, a veteran. And then he became an LA County firefighter for 36 years. And we all know that firefighters are heroes. I have a hero for a daddy. Okay, well, he was on duty. And I grew up in the San Fernando Valley. I'm a valley boy, like totally dude. Let's go to the beach ball. What's up? You know, but okay, we won't do that. And, you know, my mother was in a bowling league for firefighters, and she was in a city called Inglewood, where they had the Fabulous Forum. And he was on duty, and her water broke, and I was 3.5 weeks early. She already had a child. Another firefighter that was off duty in the league got her from Inglewood, California, to St. Joseph's Burbank in like 19 minutes. Nowadays, that's an hour commute in L.A. And I shot out in the elevator, and I haven't slowed down since. All right? The first 2 years of my life, my parents said I slept 1 to 2 hours a night. I was up as an infant. Damn. I'm sure the women are saying that, you know. But my daddy was a firefighter. He was used to not sleeping. But they took me. I was straight jacketed as a baby with cloth diapers, clipped to the crib, and just looked around. You know. At 3 years of age, I thought I was Superman, climbed up a 6-foot barbecue with a towel on my neck, jumped off head first, cracked my head open. Okay, that started a great list of injuries. We know, I started hitting my head at the age of 3. You know, Growing up as a young child, I did my chin three times, a scooter, a bicycle, and a skateboard, 36 sutures, you know, breaking bones, falling out of trees. That's just, you know, I was just one of those kids. I was the outgoing one. And I have two studious brothers, but one, my little brother, passed of AIDS. It'll be 20 years ago, July. And I wear this little lion's ring. That was my little brother. He had 2 years clean and telling me, I think you have a problem. You know how we approach people? I think you've got a problem. We don't say, you need AA, dude. You know, he was approaching me like, I'm not like mom. I'm not a drunk. I don't sleep in my own fluids. I got the trophy wife, the car, the business, the house. 6 months later, I'm in a BHU with a shattered face. I'm an alcoholic, you know. But there was four kids in our family. My parents had three boys. Boom, boom, boom. My brother and I are a year, not even a year and a day apart. June 6, 56. I'm June 7, 57. My mama had another child in August of the next year. Then 4 years later, they had the little girl. So the Hobbit, Smarty, and the little girl, I had the middle child syndrome. All right. And now when you have a daddy that's a firefighter, if he does work, doesn't overtime, does work, he's gone 3 days. Mama's drunk. In third grade on, my mama was a full-blown alcoholic. And they used to, that was in the 60s, they used to deliver alcohol to the house. She didn't drink and drive. And she was a drunk. When I walked home in third, fourth, and fifth grade, our kids are smart. We think they're not. If my daddy was on duty and my mom was home and drunk, the blinds were shut, she was drunk, keeping it like a bar. If they were open, she was sober. When I was in elementary school, I did not want to walk into my own house. It shouldn't be that way for children. But it was, you know. And I would go to Karen Cronister's house. She was a teacher down the street. And I'd show her my homework and my artwork. And I wouldn't want to go home. Out of all the children, I was the only one that got whipped by her. She would always strike me when my daddy was on duty, when she was drunk. At one point, she pulled me out of bed at night because this thing called Vietnam was on TV after the 11 o'clock news. She goes, this is where your sorry ass is going to end up, you little son of a bitch. Beat me and put me back in bed. No, that's how I grew up, okay? I don't have too much. I got the hatred out of my heart. People like my brother Tommy, my sponsor, you can't have hate and sunshine of the spirit in your heart at the same time. I just forgave my mother a year and a half ago, and I was 57 years old. But I haven't talked to her in 4.5 years. You know what? One good thing I had, you know, us growing up with four kids, the you know, Mrs. Cleaver drunk at home, you know, dad working three. My father worked three jobs being a Depression-era baby. He was smart. You know, when he had 27 years left in his firefighting career, he deliberately got stationed at Universal Studios. They call it a retirement house. So he could do acting and fire safety officer work on his days off. My daddy was already parked in his second job. And he also had a janitorial service back then. My daddy worked three jobs to support and have a fairly good livelihood for the children, you know, four kids. But I would, every summer, we had to go to summer school every year because Mama didn't want us, she didn't want to watch us. From first grade on, I was in summer school, period. So she had at least time to watch us. And my saving grace was I was athletic and I was an artist. I'm a gifted artist. Ooh. You know, I always did well in drawing and being hyperactive. If I didn't like the teacher, I got in trouble. I was a pain in the ass. If the teacher kind of gave me a little more time and dealt with me, I would get good grades, you know. Fast forward to fifth grade, Ms. Taylor. I had Ms. Taylor. She put me next to her desk, a spindly-looking older lady. You know, I always had A's in art. I always had A's in that. I had A's on my report cards. All of a sudden, I had all C's and two D's, a B in art. She didn't like me. Well, it turns out years later, I found out that Ms. Taylor and Ms. Lang were an item in the same bungalow. They lived together. And in the 60s, if, you know, today's Gay Pride Day, that wasn't talked about. But she didn't like me. But what happened was that summer, all my teachers before me sent me to art scholarship course for the summer. I got to go on a bus ride to the middle of San Fernando Valley, do artwork. We got to listen to music, Ruby Tuesday. I'm really dating myself, you know, sugar, sugar. But I got to listen to music and do artwork in the summer of fifth grade. Then when I'm in sixth grade, the teacher recognized me. They wanted to skip me a grade because of my intelligence. You know, who knows? Yeah, he's laughing, my intelligence. I love Richard. Jerk. It's beside the point. You know, and then what happened to me in sixth grade, besides all the trouble I'm getting into, you know, here and there, I had a whole section of naked ladies in my notebook that I had drawn. And I was in sixth grade, and they were posed, topless, bottomless. That's just what I did, you know. And Ms. Howard found him. Oh, parents had to come in, you know. I was a healthy young boy, that's all. And my dad's like, all right, my mom's getting all stupid, you know, and I didn't do that no more, right? But during that period, too, which was something that was fun, is your parents have you do something you don't want to do. Guess what I got to learn how to do? Square dance. I belong to Chuck's Chicks. I square danced at a park called Lanark Park. Now it's a crack park, you know, but back then in Canoga Park, it was a nice park. And I got to the point where I was my mother's partner on Friday nights when my daddy was on duty, you know. I can dance for a white boy. And it was fun, right? I went out with the adults. Well, then I get into junior high school. I went to a place called Oliver Wendell Holmes Junior High School in Northridge, California. And, you know, I was athletic, after school sports, excelling in my artwork. I know him, too. I'm going to mess with that child. You need to be quiet, boy. All right. I'm getting to know people in here. Look, he's smiling. You know, and junior high was fun, but, you know, in eighth grade, I started smoking pot because I didn't want to be a drunk like my mama. Now, my mama had already been into two rehabs. They didn't have rehabs back then. She went to the alcohol ward at the state hospital in Camarillo. And when my daddy and I drove out there, because I was a hyper one, to stay up with him, well, there goes your brother's car, because he had to pay for it out of his pocket back then. It wasn't covered by insurance. We took out the second time. There goes your car, son. The third time, there goes my boat, you know. And one time, my mom ran off with a tattooed tree trimmer. When I was a kid, we were like, oh, whoa, she disappeared. But now I know in recovery she found love in rehab. I don't know whoever had done that in here, you know. And back then, too, if you were tatted up, you were in prison. Because this is like 1970. Nowadays, you know, hey, man, look at my tat. You know, I never did any time, you know. Whatever, right? Okay? But she ran off, and then she calls us. She's in Oregon. He beat me up. I'm out of money. Can he come get me? My dad's unconditional love went up and got her. That's my childhood. We were the only ones with LAPD coming to our house. I thought it was normal. My dad was a firefighter. He got in her eye one time, and the popo gets there. Nowadays, firefighter arrested, mother in rehab, children and children's services, right? Back then they go, Leonard, go drink it off. And they left us with a drunk, and the PD left because he went, boop, firefighter. Right. That's the way it was back then. You know, I thought it was normal to have LAPD. I found out later on we were the only ones that had LAPD in our house. You know, then eighth grade comes. I'm smoking pot. I am big man on campus. $10 for four fingers, you know. Remember those days. Because I'm not going to drink like my mama, all right? But then you get thirsty. So I'm going to the market. I'm getting Boone's Farm Strawberry Hill. Ooh. Southern Comfort. Ooh, you know, panhandling. But, you know, I'm not out of control whatsoever. I'm having fun. But then my counselor comes up to me and goes, hey, your grades are dropping. You know, I would tell, like, my history teacher. He goes, you know, you get your help from your brother. I'm not my effing brother. Vice principal's office. You know, you got spanked. You got swatted back then. It's just the way it was. But Mrs. Roper approaches me, and I got a good memory, so I'm sorry if I'm telling you all my teachers and the parents and the blue. God gifted me with some memory, you know. And Mrs. Roper goes, what's up? And I go, my mom is an alcoholic, and she beats me. And back then, AA was like, you know, you're an AA. It wasn't like nowadays, hey, dude, you're in the program. Congratulations. It's socially acceptable to be a 12-step program now. But back then, it's hush-hush. She went to the women's club in Canoga Park when she was trying to get sober. She met Bill, and she met, you know, new pair of glasses and whatever, you know. But she couldn't stay sober. She couldn't stay sober. So the cat's out of the bag. There's a parent counselor student conference, right? And when we're in that office, Mrs. Roper comes out. Mr. Kohler, James, come inside. You stay out there, to my mother. And her words were, I'm going to get you, you little fucker. Because I let the world know that she was a drunk. And Mrs. Roper told my daddy, if you don't take care of this kid, he's 13, he's going to go in the wrong direction. So my daddy and I started building model airplanes together. And then she got even more pissed. He was hanging with me. I was a kid that helped my dad work on the house. At 8 years old, I was up on the roof doing Christmas lights, you know. I just do that stuff. I can build. My daddy taught me how to build. He taught me how to tune a car, you know. And then that summer of eighth grade, guess what happened? PTA sent me to Cal State Northridge to take college-level design classes in the eighth grade. I rode my bicycle to Cal State Northridge, went to Halstead Street, and I took a college-level design class. I go, these people are old. This is weird, you know. But my daddy stopped working a little bit and worked with me, you know. Plus, I was playing sports. The biggest devastation for me is when my family moved at the end of ninth grade. We call it junior high back then. Now it's middle school, you know. But all of a sudden, I was with the same kids from 2 years old until ninth grade. And my dad goes, we're moving to Chatsworth. We need a bigger house. I'm like, what? Now, Chatsworth, California, back in the early 70s, had no 118 Ronald Reagan Freeway. Streets didn't go through. People still tied up their horses on Devonshire Street. I was in the freaking boonies. The boonies. I went through this one corner, and I tried to hitchhike to my old neighborhood. Two cars passed me. It's called Mason and Lassen. Now it's a thoroughfare crowded. But back then, I go, this sucks. I rode my bicycle to my old neighborhood every night in summer to see my friends, you know. I got recruited to be cross-country in football from junior high to high school. I was going to be a Monroe Viking. They were city champs for the B, do the B, then the varsity. And I had to shave my head off to be on the team. I cut all my hair off. Then I go to Chatsworth, and I'm a chancellor. It's an open campus, bro. You can have long hair when you're playing football, bro. And I got redshirted my first year. I didn't get to play, and I would stick the biggest mother, you know what? I'd hit them hard, and I could run fast. If you're stupid enough to run into people 250 pounds and you weigh 150, full speed, you get to play. You get to play, you know? But the best part for me was I got to be in that summer workout, and I got to be in Hell Week, so I knew some people on campus. But it just took time because I have to fit in everywhere. I'm an alcoholic, right? Did I tell you guys that I love cocaine, too? I do. Okay. You know, I'm in high school. I'm doing good. And I ran away in 10th grade. I didn't like it. I ran to my old neighborhood. I was gone for 2 weeks. Messed up my grades. It was after football season, though. And I'm hanging out at my old high school, and there weren't narcs back then. The campuses weren't locked down. And I'm hanging out, and one of my friends ratted me out. My dad was crying looking for me. My dad is the type of guy where he don't cry. And when I got home, my mom said, I wish you never came home, you know. And I got home, and I always done everything back-asswards. I messed up in 10th grade, got my shit together, and graduated with honors. Usually, it's the other way around. You mess up when you're a senior. I'm always back-asswards in everything, period. End of sentence. Well, 11th grade comes around, and we have a preseason game. We're playing Polytechnic High School, and I'm playing football. There's an end around the other side, not my side. I run the guy down, tackle him on the two-yard line. We do a goal line stands and win the game. Cool, he can run! Well, duh. I beat out a senior. I got to be first string on defense. I got to do punts, kickoff. I arrived, and my hair was getting long again. And I'm the best artist in school. I'm a soch, I'm a backpacker, I'm a stoner, I'm a jock. I had to fit in everywhere because I didn't have any home life. I didn't go home. We lived two blocks. My household, my mom got her hair done on Fridays, the old day when they went to beauty parlors once a week. We all getting stoned in my house, you know. Until one of my dumbass friends was still sitting there bonging when my mom came home. Busted! I go, dude, what are you doing, Waldo? His name was Waldo. We called him Waldo. And that was before Where's Waldo? But you know what? I'm a senior. I busted my foot up. I couldn't play football my senior year. I was surfing down the hallways and hit my foot and broke it, you know, because you slide on the floors and just dumbass stuff. But I'm doing artwork. I have an actor's girlfriend, a guy named Claude Akins was an actor that he passed a little while ago, but his daughter was my high school sweetheart. I'm the best artist in the school. I arrived. My hair's down to here, you know. And I was doing well. I graduated with honors. And I entered this contest called the Second Annual USC High School Art Festival with an acrylic hard etch. And damned if I got first place for LA Unified wide for a painting. I'm like, what? You know, wait, I take another hit. What? You know, and I got a $500 merit scholarship to USC. You know, that's going to buy your art supplies for one semester, you know. I graduated I asked my dad, I want to go. He goes, we don't got the money. They didn't have as many grants back in 75 and all the programs now to go. Even though I had a letter, like, and I rent a room at Tommy's house. We've been best friends for 20 years. Kind of scary. We put up with each other. You guys know both of us now. That's a hell of a combo. But I have the letter. You're accepted by the USC Art Department. I just found it. Accepted. You know, but I ended up going to this place called Pierce Junior College. We called it Cal Poly High, you know. But, you know, I started working. My dad had a rule. You didn't have to work if you stayed in school. But I needed a vehicle. And I started working. And you know what the first car I bought was? A 1970 SS396 Chevelle. You're going to get in trouble. What'd you get such a big engine for? No, I won't, Dad. Okay, there's nothing to do in Chatsworth, so I go to Hollywood. I ain't stupid. Hollywood Boulevard, baby. Sunset. You know, and I'm down there. I had the car 2 weeks. I got a drunk driving underage. I hit another car, and I told the sheriff, I'm too drunk for the drunk test. And I had it 2 damn weeks. My dad said, you're going to get in trouble with this thing. I'm a dumbass, okay? I'm sober. I'm clean for 20 years, but I'm still a dumbass. That's what Tommy says, at least. And you know what? I got a slap on the wrist back then. A slap on the wrist. Or my parents just don't get another drunk driving for 5 years. Keep that in mind, guys, okay? I get no jail time, no drunk driving school, no nothing. It was a lot lenient back then. We used to get sent home, dump out the beers, drive home. Now, your first drunk driving in California, you got to... All right, you know, so you know what? I'm going to Pierce. I got long hair. I'm an artist. And my buddy from high school goes, hey, dude, you got to check out this disco scene. I'm like, he goes, you know how to dance. You know how to dance. And that we were going to underage clubs. You know, I remember seeing Joan Jett when she was in The Runaways. Cherry Bomb! That's a long time ago, right? In North Hollywood. And I got a fake ID. Where did I go? Hollywood, you know, Starwood, rock bands on one side, bar in the middle, and disco on the other. And I became a disco dick, you know. I got my angel flight outfit, and I could dance. I bought an extra shirt because I sweat so bad when I was done dancing, you know. And I it's a great way to get ladies. I don't care what you think, you know. And I'm getting loaded. I drive down there with 4 women in a car. And I was the only dude, and we were getting hammered on the way down there, you know. And it was fun. I can solve on walls, too, but that's beside the point. You know, I'm going to college. I got a couple-year degree. I'm working in a mall, the Northern Fast. What do you do when you're a game? I worked in the mall, you know. This mall up here sucks, but that's okay. That was bad. I'm sorry. But, you know, I get out of college, and I cannot get a job as an artist. They want somebody with a 4-year curriculum. Mind you, 5th grade, art scholarship course by PTA. 8th grade, art scholarship by PTA. The second annual USC High School Art Festival, 1st place. I can't get a job. Starving artist applied. Nowadays, you can do computer, do all kinds of artwork, right? So I quit art, and I got into construction. I got a job as an assistant superintendent. Big title, no money, but I got to learn a lot, right? and I'm ripping and running and doing stuff. And after a few years, I go, this isn't, you know, I'm really not making a good living at this. And I started getting into, I did a little bit of flooring, got out of that, and I was doing air conditioning, just computer rooms. I didn't climb in attics, didn't do residential, just 100-ton systems, computer rooms, you know. And now, mind you, I'm with three other bachelors living in Porter Ranch. We got a house up there. I got a work truck, a little VW Squareback for the beach, and a slammed El Camino. I'm 20 years old. I'm already living the life of luxury. Because remember, I'm a West Valley boy. Yeah, let's vomit now. I'm working two jobs. I'm doing air conditioning in the day and working at a gas station at night because I like money. And I get a knock on the door. It's one of my old bosses. I need a ride home. I go, dude, it's 12 o'clock at night. Him and his friends were on Southern Comfort and Quaaludes and bouncing off cars. If anybody knows what that combo is, you know, they were messed up, right? And I go, dude, it's late. Now, what I had done that day, this was my day where I thought I was a man's man. Now, ladies, don't get pissed at me when I start talking about this one little day. This is AA, keep it in here, right? I wasn't with my girlfriend. I was with her girlfriend that morning. Okay, and we were getting drunk and whatever, right? I didn't drink all afternoon. I wasn't drunk. My buddy needs a ride home. We get in my slammed El Camino, 6 inches off the ground on the front. Nice. You know, I'm in a place called Thousand Oaks, California, and the sheriffs pull me over. And they go, it's 12:30 at night, slammed El Camino, long-haired guy in the front. He's holding coke in his sock. And, no, he doesn't have a, yeah, no, okay. But, the cop goes, you've been drinking today. I go, what the fuck is your problem? I haven't drinking since this morning. They pulled me out of that car. They took me in. I blew a .10 legally drunk. 4 years, 9.5 months from that other one. I got my second drunk driving. I was 20 years old. I wasn't drunk. My mouth got me in trouble. It was in my system, but my mouth. They let me out on OR. My buddy's 2 hours late. They want, you want to come back in, Mr. Kohler? No, no. You know, I was at the Olson Jail. It's a combination, Ventura County Sheriff and CHP in one jail. And he picks me up. I'm going, oh, dude, hey, man, I'm glad you're here. But, you know, let's do it. Let's do a rail. Oh, dude, I did it all. I didn't think you were going to get out. Oh, man. What? You know? Then I went to this rock promoter's house and wanted to, you know, that I met at the studio, and I hung out with her. That's what I'll say, right? And then I called my girlfriend at 4 o'clock. I got a drunk driving. I was with her. So in 24 hours, I had three ladies and a drunk driving. I am a man's man. No one's laughing on that. I'm a pig, you know. But I had to go to court for that drunk driving. The air conditioning company kicked me to the curb. It was my second drunk driving. And the judge threw the book at me. He gave me 30-something weekends in jail. Work furlough, report on Friday, get out on Sunday. I had to go to this AA for a year, and I had to go to drunk driving school for a year. I'm going, damn. Because they go, Mr. Kohler, stand up. All you first-time offenders, it's his second one. And he threw the book at me. And I had a big hotshot lawyer. Doesn't matter. Turns out Ventura County was the county with the model conviction rate in California for drunk drivings. They don't want them little punks from San Fernando Valley in Ventura County. And I had to go to jail every weekend. I got kicked out of a place called The Hole in the Sky. It's a club in Canoga Park. I got kicked out of The Nest, which is in Reseda, with bikers. Sign your own court card. Okay, and I did. See, I wasn't over that imaginary line yet. I wasn't an alcoholic yet. I had the alcoholic tendencies, the alcoholic behavior, but I wasn't yet. And that drunk driving school cost me twice as much. I had to do that for a year. I have not been hooked up since. I'm not going to go into details, but I've been hooked up like probably 17 times by the time I was 20. Okay? But I have not been arrested since 1980. I didn't get sober till 96. Do the math. You know, I just didn't get caught. A lot of fun. Fast forward. It's time to get into recovery. Boom. I finally married the woman that I was a pig with because I just said what I did, you know. I was renting houses in the West Valley, and I bought my first house in Palmdale, California. And I bought a house back in the late 80s that was only $56,000. I sold it for $258,000. That was nice profit, you know. That's when the Antelope Valley was becoming nice, and now it's bad. But that back then, it was nice, you know, and I had this house. And I'm doing flooring. I've done flooring for years. I always went to work. I could work 6 days a week. I did hardwood, carpet, and vinyl. I treated it like artwork because it's a finished product. The composition is completed when the floor is in on construction. You know, when you look at, you know, the walls could be done, this could be done, windows could be done. But when you're looking at concrete or wood, until that floor goes in, it's not a complete composition. You like that? Composition? But the thing is, well, the company I worked for, I had to work in Ventura County to make money. Westlake, you know, Malibu, Ventura, you know, all these places where there, it was affluent. I couldn't make money in the valley due to people that were infiltrating the trades and killing prices. I started drinking King Cobras on the way to work. I had such a long commute, 2 40-ounce Cobras every morning in a 3/4-ton Silverado. With a $2,000 paint job and a race engine, you know. But, you know, I love cocaine. Every Friday when I got a paycheck, I'd get an 8-ball and meet up with the old lady. We go out to dinner. I wouldn't eat my food. I'd get Black Russians and limes and then have fun all night. And I always had what I call a cocaine hangover on Saturday. I always had a residential job on Saturday. Oh, banging concrete. You know, I have 10 McMuffins, 4 orange juices. You know, but by 2 o'clock, ooh, I feel pretty good. By that night, you know, I'm partying again, right? I do not miss my cocaine hangovers on Saturday mornings whatsoever. Because you drink twice as much when you do marching powder. I like marching powder, you know. And I'm not a tweaker. Okay, stop it. Okay, well, you know what? Fast forward on January 13th, 1996, I'm having a yard sale on a Sunday. Number one, that's wrong. You do it on Fridays and Saturdays. My wife leaves me some money. And I went up and got two King Cobras, you know. I come back. I'm riding a bicycle. I don't want to, you know, get popped. And she's off at work. And that's not enough, so I went and got a handle of gin. So from 6 in the morning to 11, I was .37. I know how to I drink, okay? That's drunk. That's almost 5 times the legal limit, right? I'm stumbling around my yard, you know, like the shit's missing, don't got enough money, you know how it goes, you know. And also next thing I know is, boom, I did a face plant in my river rocks with my face, the rocks you have around the tree. And my neighbor said it sounded like somebody dropped a bowling ball in the street when my head hit the rocks. And like a good drunk, what happened when I fell? I cracked my skull and snapped my nose in half. And I had the same toxic shame that my mother instilled in me. You're worthless, you're nobody, you're a loser. Blood everywhere, they're picking up the clothes. No, no one uses those, I gotta sell them. They're like, shut up, stupid. You know, I left a scar on my forehead on purpose. They could have given me plastic surgery. This is stupid right here. See this? This scar right there. That's stupid. I'm in the hospital. I'm in the ER. They're putting Humpty Dumpty back together. I'm spitting everywhere. Because when you get a broken nose, you got shit coming out. You know, fix me. I got insurance. You know, oh, I was a dick. You know, the sheriffs are in there. Security's in there. And then that ex had to come home. She's an ex now. From her job, time and a half, and they told her these options that we learn in here. You're an enabler. That man can't go home. Put him on the streets of Palmdale. And Palmdale, in the wintertime, is like, you know, 20 degrees. It's a high desert. It snows. Or chuck him in the hospital. And what do I do? Easy or softer way? We've heard that one, right? I'll go in the hospital. Now, mind you, my face is taped up like Phantom of the Opera to here, bright white. You know, like, see, you see the contrast? Oh, I hit a thing. Uh-oh. You know, you've got white, you've got black. My eyes were purple, blue, black with that white tape. It looked good. I'm an artist. My hair is down to here. You know, I go into this hospital, and it's a behavioral health unit. what? I thought I was going to regular hospital. The doors clang, some dude's doing a lithium shuffle with his ass hanging out. I'm like, oh shit, there's contina wire on the patio. I don't think I'm going anywhere. I get into my private room for $1,000 a day, and I look in the mirror, and only an alcoholic doping would go, it ain't that bad. You know? I've got a nose snapped and half rebuilt, and this is the hardest bone to break. We're alcoholics. We'll break it. The next day, the doctor goes, you should die twice yesterday, young man. I go, what? He goes, you had a severe blow to your head. If you would have hit the side of your head or the back of your head, we'd be cutting that pretty blonde hair and taking apart your brain. And number one, then he goes, how many gauges were you drinking? I went, 5 hours. He goes, a normal person would be in a coma. Being 3-7 in 5 hours. I'm an alcoholic, you know? I got the message. That was my first day of sobriety. Was 1-14-96. In this big book here, this is my $10,000 big book, right? 10 days in the nut ward, they hand me a $6 big book and said, go to AA. I wrote on the inside cover, sobriety started January 14, 1996. I'm James Kohler, I'm an alcoholic, God save me. I wrote that when I was in the hospital. Now see, 6 months before I got sober, I lost my little brother to AIDS. He was gay, shouldn't die for your sex. He had 2 years clean when he was dying. I took him out. I used to fight. I didn't tell you guys that. I used to fight all the time. I was a fighter. I liked to hit people. At one point, I was benching 360. I was like too big, you know. And I liked to hit people. Pull them out of their cars. Hit them. Beat up certain people in Hollywood. I was an idiot, okay? Never hit a woman, though, in my life, ladies. I was breaking bread with my little brother, and he looked like, you know, like that movie Philadelphia. He was skinny. He had the marks. And people are looking at me. I go, what the fuck's your problem, man? Watch this. I'd eat his food. You can't get it that way. What? You know, I was pulling people out of their tables almost at a restaurant. And I lost him. Now, when I'm in the hospital, that mother is dry right now, but she got 37 years, but ain't been to a meeting in 5 years. I didn't know she got sober. She got sober in 1980. My little brother had 2 years. If they can do it, I can do it, right? That was my attitude when I started. But I got to learn the program. 10 days in the BHU, then I went to a sober living house. The guy came in on H&I. You guys know what H&I is, right? Hospitals, institutions. This guy was bigger than me, already shaving his head in 96, missing a tooth. Medallion, you're doomed. It's an alcoholic death. You're all doomed. He was quoting from the book. I go, ooh, this guy's bad. Afterwards, he's all real nice. Hey, I got a sober living. This was the Nazi concentration camp of sober living, right? You had to have somebody with a year to check you out. You couldn't go get a little baggie of something at the corner. You couldn't get a little King Cobra, you know. But it was good that I was in that environment. I was self-employed for 25 years running my world. And we know when we run our world on our will, what do? It's a mess. I talked him into being my sponsor. There was a bunch of people in there. We did step work at night. I started going to a place called the Palmdale Group, where Tommy and I eventually met. And I was out and away from my house, my truck, my toys, my wife, and my business for 100 days, away from everything, and that solidified my sobriety. Period, end of sentence. At 90 days, 10 days ago in that sober living home, I did step five with that sponsor at 90 days, and I had a thorough inventory because I wasn't going very many places. You know, since then, of course, you do more. We were up all night. The next morning, I had like that fifth step promise in there. The birds were louder. Everything was brighter. The big sky of Antelope Valley was beautiful, and my obsession has been lifted ever since 90 days. Today is 7,456 or something like that. I've never drinking. I took a year off, got home, everything's going good, started a sober softball team, started a bowling league, the Trudgers they were called, we know that word, right? And everything's going good. I'm taking a year, I'm getting out of construction, you gotta change everything. You know, and after a year, you know, it's time to, I took my first cake and it's time to go back to work. That ex-wife comes home, she's a bakery manager for Ralph's, and she goes, I can get you a job. And back then the grocery union was strong, $7.70, triple time on holidays, time and a half on Sunday, vacation pay. I got four checks every year from them, like, you know, woo, okay, when it was vacation time. And I'm like thinking, I'm going to be a truck driver, you know, meat cutter. And my ex goes, we need cake decorators. What? I build houses, not cakes. I blew it off, right? So I go to my sponsor. And now I have a different sponsor at this time. And I go, hey, sponsor, you know, she wants me to be a cake decorator. He goes, sit down, stupid.
Okay.
He goes, you're going to have your own retirements, your own bennies, and you tell me from your inventory you're an artist. I didn't draw no more, you know. I reluctantly cut my hair off and came back with a mohawk. He said, that's not going to work. I took the mohawk off and I went and took a drug test. And I'm in this office going, I'll pee in anything. I got a year. I never wanted to pee in anything before, right? And I became Ralph's top cake decorator. I went from an alcoholic addict construction worker to a sober union cake boy, squeezing cake bags, drawing, you know? And it was a nice career. But backtrack just a little bit. My sponsor disappeared at 4 months because his wife slept with somebody in a sober living. He disappeared on me. I was like a newcomer, 4 months without a sponsor. A woman took me under her wing named Dale Sorber. She used to knit in the meeting. Shh, quiet, you're making too much noise. Huh? Okay, sit down. Sit on your hands, you know, that type, right? She was a dope fiend, she had hep C, and she was an alcoholic. And she was a hippie married to an air traffic controller. What? You know? She goes, I see the spark in your eye. You're going to get this. We're going to help you find a sponsor. I had a female sponsor from 4 months until 10 months. Now, people say, oh, men with the men, women with the women. Bullshit. It's not written anywhere. And the first thing she said is, I ain't sleeping with you, okay? I'm like, oh, I thought I was going to get lucky, you know. But, you know, in here, you learn in here, in chapter to the agnostic, it says we believe this is a moral, is a spiritual as well as moral program. In that book, it talks about we couldn't practice the same precepts that we were taught as a kid. What does precepts mean? Moral conduct. I've been a good boy ever since I got sober. I stuck with that lady. I had an affair with my little sister's best friend's little sister 6 months before I got sober. Did you get that? Little sister's best friend's little sister. I was a pig. But once I got sober, I have moral conduct. I have never cheated. I don't beat people up. I pay my bills. Wow. You know. I'm going to read you something. I don't read much. That this woman sent me a card, and I think I got it in here. I got this just before my first birthday, and I saved it. It's dated 97. She sent me a letter. She had to move up to the Tahoe area for her husband. And this is rough. I might cry because I'm a man.
That's right.
She moved away. This is dated January 10th, 1997, just before my first birthday, 4 days before I got sober. So how are you? Squirrely? Yeah, we know that. Everyone gets crazy when birthday coming. Just remember gratitude. It will calm you. I am so sick about not being able to be there to see you take that 1 year first cake. I'm so fond of you. She got time. So fond of you. Never saw a newcomer work so hard in AA in their first year. You're so inspiring. You're also very blessed. Don't forget, he who has blessed you, he who has gave you the power to be where you are today. That's beautiful from a person with time. And I was a squirrely, dumbass, one-year birthday boy. You know, I'm decorating cakes for Ralph's. I'm playing sober softball. My ex finally says we can have a child. Mind you, I'm 40 years old. And, you know, she said, I don't want to have a baby with you when you left at 6 in the morning, got home at 10 o'clock at night, voted. You know, I would have been a Sunday dad. Mow the yard, son, you know. And that's the way it would have been. On August 13th, Friday the 13th, my one and only child was born. There was an electrical storm. The power went out at AV Hospital, emergency power. He was born at 6 p.m., and he weighed 6 pounds, 6 ounces. So my brain's going, fighting storm, fighting 13, 666, demon! What the fuck? Right? Okay? I'm holding my beautiful child, my one and only son, the only son in my family had to carry on the name, Kohler. And where am I at 10:45? I'm at a candlelight meeting having a cigar. We could smoke back then in meetings, going, I'm a daddy. I'm a freaking daddy at 41 years of age. Well, last week, that little boy just graduated the number one charter high school in California, Granada Hills Charter High School. They won the academic decathlon 5 out of the last 6 years. They had 164 valedictorians in one class. Number one charter high school in California, top 10 in the nation. And my 6'1", blonde-haired, blue-eyed child graduated with some honors. And he's never seen daddy drunk or loaded, no matter what. Right? Okay. Mom and I aren't getting along. We separated once. You never get back together with a spouse and buy a house, okay? It doesn't work, all right? Never get back together with a spouse and buy a house. We were apart. I was working two jobs. I cut my hours down in the bakery. I got there at 4 in the morning. I baked and caked. Got off at 8 and did construction from 9 till 6. Went to a meeting. Went to bed. Got up at 3. Did that for 2 years. Guess what? I ran myself down. Okay? Then we bought a house in Canyon Country. In, you know, Santa Clarita. That's a hoity-toity town, okay? Period. That's all it is. And I started feeling ill. And my ex, my wife at the time, was going, you don't want to work just because of it. I go, I don't feel good. I got a thing called lymphoma in sobriety. I got diagnosed with cancer in my belly. I fucking was crushed. I went on a 4-year no meeting plan. I don't recommend it. And I didn't get loaded. I lost most of my hair, but a third was still there. I went and cut it. I didn't shave for 2 weeks at a time. And when that wife would come home, she goes, why don't you put a thing around your neck and go beg for money on the freeway? You look like shit. And I told her, I'm going to kill myself. She goes, just don't do it when me and the kid are here. Oh. And you as an alcoholic, I'm going to hang the cat, too, all three of us. I'll show you. But you know what? I didn't do it, okay? And they isolated it. It didn't do the metastasize and all the lymph nodes, and they bombarded me. I'm free of that cancer 6 years now. I start getting ready to... I didn't go to meetings. I'd moved from the Arrow Valley where I had 11 years of sobriety. I didn't know how to be in that area. And one day I finally walked up a place called the Raptors. It's got 40-plus years. It's been there. I went up the stairway the day before Good Friday, 5 years ago, and I cried like a baby and said, I'm back. And I've been on fire ever since. Then Tommy came back into my life because he had to leave here to help his mama who has medical issues. And we were like, poof! Flies on shit. We were back together, okay? And that's just the way it goes. We've known each other when we were, as he would say, snot gobbling, stinging, Similac sucking newcomers, okay? And we both have done the deal, no matter what. Step three, when you go out, you gave up step three because you took your will back. You know, I turned my will and my life over to the care of God. It's simple. Step three, not this, oh, it was a trigger. Shut up, you know. Wasn't it? I hate that word, trigger. You know, you made it. You know, what does that book tell us? You get loaded before you get loaded. Because mentally, before you do the act, you're loaded. It's the truth. I didn't get loaded no matter what. And Tommy and I are hanging out, going to conventions, and all of a sudden, you know, I got to go to a dermatologist because, you know, I'm pink, I'm not tan, I got 59 years of construction. They burn stuff off. And my doctor, Dr. Trail, said, now she goes, I don't like this on your back. She cut something out. I get a phone call 2 days later. Get your butt in my office. What up? Get your ass in my office. She goes, you got melanoma. Second cancer in a few years. And she goes, well, we can keep an eye on it or we can cut it out. I go, cut me. She goes, whoa, big fella, we got to set this up. They ended up taking like a silver dollar hunk of my back off, you know, all the way down to the muscle, clean it and close it up. She got it all. Melanoma's the killer. But after the operation, we're going home. Tommy's got a convertible Beamer at the time. We're on that Ronald Reagan freeway that wasn't there when I moved to Chatsworth. And I'm crying, going, why? This is bullshit. Why do I have cancer again? And this is a Tommy quote. God damn it, Kohler, suck it up. Pull up your bootstraps. You already beat one. You know what? I've been cancer-free of one for 6 years and another one for five. You know, God has a blessing. Well, now I'm in Al-Anon, right? Because my ex sometimes smokes $750 worth of medical marijuana a month. I make my own money. Fuck you. I'm like, okay. And I was sneaking off to Al-Anon meetings because I just had to deal with it. I finally put up the borders and boundaries and I want a divorce. I'm out of town. A gal died on her Harley with 24 years in the AV. She was getting cleats for a kid and broadside of a Mercedes killed instantly. Her bucket fell off. 24 years clean. She was only in her 40s. When I'm at the funeral, that lovely ex emptied our 3-bedroom, 2-bath, 2-car garage townhouse of everything and changed the locks. So I'm out of program. I don't call my sponsor. I don't call Tommy. I get a guy to co-sign my bullshit. My sister with 3 months is with me. She got sober. And I double stacked ladders to get to a third story. I took an A-frame and an extension with a piece of wood and a 6'5" biker holding it together. And I was about 50 pounds heavier. I'm only 185 now, I like it. But that was posing. I got my fat ass up to this balcony, and I couldn't get on. And I was coming down. Guess what happened? Two stories. I was knocked out for a minute, got up like I was fighting, blood everywhere. I had to go to the trauma unit. You know, and all God let me do is break my nose for the fourth time and dislocate a rib. My face. This looks good for 4 breaks. I don't know what you guys are looking at, but that fucker is straight. Okay? I grab my nose. Let's see what. Okay, watch. I can go like this, but watch this. This whole side is not there. Whoa, that was gross. But you know what? Dumbass. Justifiable anger, step 10, right? I was justified. After that, I lived in Motel 6 in Sylmar. Then my little sister found a place to live. The day after Christmas, coming up on 17 years, I was homeless in a Lightning pickup. I slept behind a club. I was in that motel room from October to December, the day after Christmas. I had a little Christmas party for myself. I was homeless for a couple of weeks. So you know what? When you look at this alcoholic, whether it's separation, whether it's falling off ladders, whether it's cancer, what do? I don't drink or use no matter what. No matter what. I've been through a lot. You know, I thought I was going to be in the $500,000 house in Santa Clarita at 20 years. I'm renting a room from my best friend. But it doesn't matter. You don't drink no matter what. Right? Cancers. And I had a full grill before I got ill. I'm missing a bunch of teeth, but they're going to get fixed. Because of the medication, the chemotherapy, the root system died. But I got a big brush and pretty hair so you don't see my teeth. I'm very vain. I'm sorry. I am. It's a character defect. You know, no, I'm a healthy human being. My doctor a little bit ago said I have the health of like a 40-year-old, 30-something-year-old, and I just turned 59, okay? I got energy that'll blow your doors off. I was up at 4, today Tommy's going, shut the door! It was 3:57 in the morning and I was up, walking to the mobile station getting coffee, doing my prayer and meditation. I sleep 4 or 5 hours a night and that's all I need. You know, I got a newcomer that just got off heroin 2 weeks ago checking in with me right now. I work with other alcoholics and addicts. I can't keep it unless I give it away, right? And you guys are getting a dose of me now. You know, I see some people are like, what the fuck? You know? And the thing, too, is I had my hair, I had a flat top you could land a B-52 on when I was decorating cakes when my son was born. But after cancer, some girls I know, because I date ladies, and, yeah, Richard doesn't know that, but he's not even here. But they said, grow your hair out, you know. Normally, you guys have seen me. I come in here and it's all, whoop, fucking Robert Plant, you know. But when I come in here tonight, I got to put a shirt and tie on, pull it back, you know, and show respect for this program that's given me my life. This is a priceless gift. This is a priceless program you could never pay back. It's in there. It tells you that. All these different promises in here. I looked up all 160-plus promises, not just a nine-step promise, if we are painstaking. There's promises all through here, you know. It's beautiful. In the chapter to the agnostics, everybody hates, which is really step two, there's 19 promises in that chapter. Look at this book. I'm anal, but my sponsor says you're meticulous. Look at this thing. What have I done to it, right? I re-glued the binding. I got Gorilla Tape on it. This is my $10,000 big book. I got nice ones that don't have no writing on them in my collection. But you know what? No matter what, you guys, you know, when I come back here in 2 months, I don't want to see anybody say, oh, I only got 4 days. Well, you, what happened? You know, I used to beat up newcomers bad because I never relapsed. You know, you punked on us. You look, what the, what? But with Al-Anon, I know there's sick people now. On August 2nd, I got 5 years in Al-Anon. And don't go booing Al-Anon like this. The people with time in 30 and 40 years call it the graduate program. Because who do you hang out with every day? Alcoholics. Their behavior, a lot of them are still stupid after years, you know? You can't help it, right? I see a lot of heads going, yeah, you know? But no matter what, I don't drink, you know? I'm glad to come up here. It's a blessing to come up here. I know where everything is now. You guys are going to be scary if I come up here on my own and, you know, bring a posse with me. You know, but you know what? I'm glad to be here. I'm glad that I was asked to speak, you know. And no matter what, we don't drink. That's it. And we come up with my generation. I love pot. I love cocaine. So I had to quit three things at once. You know, and whether it's cancer, whether it's getting rid of a trophy wife that's not a trophy no more, you know what? You don't drink. You know? That's just the way it is. And you know, we hear laughter. If the newcomer doesn't hear laughter, they would not want this program. We laugh. I just discovered this. This is what I'm going to close with. She said I had till 8:15. I'm working it. And in that 12 and 12, I use that. When I work with a newcomer, we read every single word together in the first 164 and the 12 steps. And if they have some time, I might teach them the grown-up program called the traditions. And some people just can't handle those. Okay? But in step 7, I never saw it till not too long ago. And it said that humility is the foundation principle of all 12 steps. Without some degree of humility, you cannot become truly sober or truly happy. I misquoted. I don't like to do that. I like to open it. I didn't bring in my 12 for 12. But that's telling me I have to have humility in front of hope, humility in front of honesty, humility in front of integrity. We need humility, you know. And what's the definition of humility? The easiest, the act of being humble. Thank you.
James, another round of applause.
Yeah!